Today's shiur is a Masech Techol on Daf Kuf Hey. We will begin on Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amid, at the beginning of the line with the words, Tanya Beishamai Oimrim. Our sugya, as most Rishonim learn, is speaking about when someone ate Gvina, and then he wanted to eat Basar. And so we find that Beishamai says, Tanya Beishamai Oimrim Mekaneach, he has to wipe out his mouth first from the residue of cheese before he goes to eat the meat. And Beis Hillel says that he has to rinse. The Gemara is not speaking about eating meat first and then a milchic item, because as we're going to see on Daf Kuf Yamed Aleph, it would be necessary to wait, as the Mechaber Paskins, to wait 6 hours, and if you wait that amount of time, kinuach and hadacha is not necessary. And therefore, most Rishonim learn that the discussion here of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is concerning gvina and then basar. We are going to learn the sugya according to Rashi, in what Rashi learns mediach, and at the end we'll see how the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rambam in Hilchas Macholos Asuras learn differently what mediach means. So Rashi's pshat is that whereas Beis Shammai said mekaneach, you should wipe out your mouth with a parva solid food, and we'll see exactly which solid food you're supposed to use to wipe out the cheese residue before you eat the basar, Beis Hillel says madiach. Beis Hillel says rinse out your mouth. So learns Rashi, and the Gemara immediately asks, "My mekaneach, my madiach? What do we mean when Beis Shammai says mekaneach and Beis Hillel says madiach? Is this in fact a machloikis here?" As we turn to Daf Kuf Hey Amid Aleph, Ilei me Beis Shammai Amar mekaneach veloy boy madiach. If you're going to say that Beis Shammai feels that mekaneach, wiping out, is a better way to get rid of the cheese residue, it's better than madiach, and therefore, of course, you could do wiping and rinsing, but it's not necessary. Beis Shammai says wiping is better than rinsing. Do the wiping and not the rinsing. Ubeis Hillel, remember, Beis Hillel disagree, and they hold madiach, v'loy boy mekaneach. They hold a madiach, rinsing is better than wiping. If that's so, we have the following question. L'hodom Rab Zeira. Rab Zeira said, concerning, as Rashi says, if someone wants to eat meat after he ate cheese, Rav Zeira said, you have to wipe out your mouth. And ein kinuach peh el b'pas. The only way you can wipe out your mouth is with bread. So, come on, who is he going like? Kebeis Shammai? Is he going like Beis Shammai? In other words, he's going shaloik halacha. If you're going to say that there's a fundamental machloikas here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that Beis Shammai says that you need kinuach and not adacha, and Beis Hillel says you need adacha and not kinuach. So if Rav Zeir is explaining how you make kinuach, he's only explaining according to Beis Shammai. We paskin like Beis Hillel. Ella, the Gemara, wants to say a different shot here in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, Amar mekaneach, loy b'yoy madiach. Beis Shammai holds all you have to do is wipe, you don't need to rinse. Ubeis Hillel, Amar Beis Hillel holds af madiach. Beis Hillel holds, not only do you need kinuach, you also need hadacha. If so, when Rav Zeira says, en kinuach pe al bapas, he's going l'kuli alma. He's going both according to Beis Shammai and according to Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel is moida that you need kinuach. They're just being more machmer, and they say you also need hadacha. But if so, we have another problem. If so, it comes out that in this case, Beis Shammai will be a mekel, that all you need is kinuach and no hadacha, and Beis Hillel will be machmer, that you need both. And what's, so what? What's wrong with that? The problem is, v'lesniyu gabi kuli Beis Shammai v'chumri Beis Hillel. We have a mission in Idias that itemizes all the places in Shas where Beis Shammai is mekel and Beis Hillel is machmir, because usually Beis Hillel is the one who's mekel and Beis Shammai is the machmir. So the Mishnayis over there in Idias tell us where Beis Shammai is mekel and Beis Hillel is machmir. And this case is not listed there. So apparently, this is not one of the cases where Beis Hillel is machmir over Beis Shammai. Ella, the conclusion of the Gemara is, Beis Shammai armor mekaneach v'hu adin l'madiach. Beis Shammai, as Rashi explains, holds you need both. They only spoke about mekaneach, but they agreed to Beis Shammai, to Beis Hillel rather, that you also need to rinse it out hadacha. Who Beis Hillel, I remember Beis Hillel says madiach, you have to rinse it out, but they agreed to Beis Shammai v'hu adin l'mekaneach, you also have to wipe it. Mar amar chada, Beis Shammai was speaking only about kinuach, Umar Ramachada, and Beis Hillel was speaking about only about Madiach, well, I plead, there's no Machlaikis. And the Maskana is that both according to Beis Shammai and according to Beis Hillel, you'll need Kinuach and Hadacha between Gvina and Basar. It would seem that this Pshat, according to Rashi, is a bit difficult, because if Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are both speaking about cleaning out your mouth, it's a little difficult why Beis Shammai would concentrate only on the wiping and Beis Hillel would concentrate only on the rinsing, when in fact both of them agree that you need kinyuch and hadachah. And that is why perhaps the Rabbeinu Geshem learns differently. The Rabbeinu Geshem here on the left margin says, the Iboy Tema, Mar Omer Chado Vlepligi, Kleimer. What does this mean? Beis Shammai Omer Mekaneach Zuhi HaPeh. Beis Shammai is speaking about wiping out the mouth. Ubeis Hillel Omer Madiach Elu Yadav, says the Rabbeinu Geshem. When Beis Hillel said Hadocha, they're not referring to the mouth, they're referring to the hands. Aval Bepeh, Maida Beis Hillel Beis Shammai De'en Kinuch HaPeh Al Bepas. Beis Hillel will be Maida to Beis Shammai that if you're wiping out your mouth, then you have to use bread. And that's what Rabbi Zeir is speaking about. He's going according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And now, according to Rabbeinu Geshem, Mar Machado Vlepligi, I think, is a little better. Because according to Rabbeinu Geshem, they're talking about two different aspects. Beis Shammai was concentrating on what do you have to do with the mouth. You have to wipe it out. You don't need, according to Rabbeinu Geshem, you don't need hadacha of your mouth. All you need is kinuach of the mouth, bepas, as Rabbi Zeir explains. On the other hand, Beis Hillel was concentrating on what do you do with your hands. With your hands, you have to wash them. So this is perhaps what prompted Rabbeinu Geshem to learn that hadacha in the whole sugya is not, like Rashi says, hadacha rinsing the mouth, but rather hadacha is rinsing the hands. And so we find the Rambam Hilchos Machlos Asuros Perek Tes Halacha Chavav. The Rambam states, Mi she'achol gvinoy cholov tchila, mutter lechol achrav basar miyad. You can eat right away meat after cheese. V'tzorach she'adich yadav. You have to wash your hands, like Rabbeinu Gershom said, v'yikaneach piv, and you have to wipe out your mouth, bein hagvino bein habasar. And therefore we see that the Rambam doesn't mention at all rinsing out your mouth. Agav, we should point out that Rashi, who learns this whole sugya, is speaking about the mouth, agrees that, as we learned in yesterday's daf, that there's a necessity to clean your hands, or if you can look at them and see that there's nothing, there's no cheese on it in the daytime, at nighttime where you can't see, then you have to wash it, but you have to take care of your hands. Rashi agrees to that, except Rashi learns that the discussion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is specifically concerning the mouth. Whereas we see the Rambam is learning like Rabbeinu Gershon, that washing out your mouth is not necessary at all. You just have to wipe it out, and you do have to wash your hands. The Radvaz, however, finds a issue with the Rambam's pshat and Rabbeinu Gershon's pshat, and he says that if in the whole sugya, hadacha refers to rinsing your hands, how could the Gemara entertain on the second line of Havamina, Beis Hillel Omer Madiach? You wash your hands, according to the Rambam and Rabbeinu Gershon, v'loy boy mekaneach, and you don't have to wipe out your mouth. If you're not rinsing out your mouth and you're not wiping out your mouth, what are you doing with your mouth? How could there be a havamina that, according to Beis Hillel, hadacha of your hands is sufficient and you don't need kinuach of the peh? That means you're not doing anything with your mouth, and you do have to rinse out and clean out your mouth from the cheese residue. Therefore, the Radvaz blabs by a tzorech ian on the sheet of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Geshem. And because of that, he likes better Rashi's pshat, that the Gemara here is concentrating on the mouth. Beis Shammai was speaking about wiping out the mouth, and Beis Hillel was speaking about rinsing out the mouth. But the maskan is we have two sheetas Rishonim, how to learn this sugya. And in fact, the Rambam paskins that you do not have to wash out your mouth, you only have to wipe it out, and you wash your hands. However, the Mechaber in Siman Peites Sif Beis paskins like Rashi and not like the Rambam. He says that in the daytime you have to check your hands if there's any cheese on it, and at night when you're not able to tell if there's cheese on your hand, then you have to wash your hands. And then he concludes, V'tzorach lekanech piv ulahadichoy, he has to wipe out his mouth and he has to rinse it out. That's like the sheet of Rashi, not like the Rambam and Rabbeinu Gershon. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, we learned before. You wipe out the mouth only with bread. Vahani mili b'dechiti. The Gemara says, what kind of bread? Only bread made from wheat. Aval b'desari loy, but from barley not. Rashi explains why not. Because it is misparer b'toich hapeh. It crumbles in the mouth and it doesn't stay together well, that it should serve as a good wipe when he swallows the bread. U'dechiti nami loy amorin ela b'krira. When can you use wheat bread to wipe out the mouth from the cheese residue? That's only if it's cold. Aval b'chamima, but if it's hot, mishter story, it's soft and it's sticky. Rashi says, v'nidbak b'cheich, it gets stuck to the palate. V'hani mili, and when can you use wheat bread? That's only berikicha, when the bread is soft. Avol beakusha, but if it's hard, hard wheat bread is the same as barley. It crumbles up, and it does not serve as a good wipe. Avol beakusha, loy, it's not acceptable. The hilchas that Allah is, b'chol mili, you can use everything as a kinuach. B'chol mili havi kinuach, levar, except mikimcha, from flour, tamre, dates, biyaraka, and vegetables. All of these things, Rashi says, rachenhein, they're soft, and again, they do not serve as a good wipe of the mouth. When we speak about the yarakos, it's either boiled vegetables that are soft, or we're speaking about green leafy vegetables that are likewise soft, and they do not serve as a good kinuach. I heard from Rav Fishel Schachter Shlita on the Dailadaf in the name of the Chassam Sefer that there is a medrash that says on the pasuk in Parshas Vayera, Vayika Chema V'cholav U'ben HaBakar Sharasa, that Avram took for the Malachim, who he thought were Arabs, he took the butter, the cream, the milk, and the cow that he shechted. And the Medrash says, Malamet Shechilim Basa B'cholav, Avram gave Basa B'cholav to the Malachim. U'kisharatza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litan Torah L'Yisrael, when Hashem wanted to give the Torah to Yisrael, Amru HaMalachim, the Malachim said, T'nohet Chal HaShemayim, give the splendor of Torah to heaven. They said, Mali Ludish Beinenu, what is a someone created from a woman, who was born from a woman, he's not a malach, what is he doing amongst us? So Hashem answered, Amar Lahem, Kosev Batorah, it's written in the Torah, Lo Savash L'Gadib Chalev Yimoy, Va'atem Kishiratatem L'mata, when you went down by Avram, Achaltem Basa B'cholav, Shenemar V'yikachema V'cholav, you took the dairy products and the meat, you ate Basa B'cholav together. Miyad Hoidu L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, they agreed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what is written in Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamadal, Pasuk of Zion, Ki al pi hadvor mo'ele karati etcha bris, the Es Yisrael. And the Pasuk right before, Perek Lamadal, Pasuk of Vav, says that, Loisav Asher Gadi b'chalev imoy. So we see from this Medrash that because of Basar B'cholav, that's why Hashem was Koreis Bris with Klal Yisrael. That's why Hashem gave us the Torah. There's a Chazal in Mesech the Gittin of Samach Amid Beis, brings the Chassam Sefer, Om Rabbi Yochanan, like Horus HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael, Elo Bishvil Dvorim Shebal Peh. Hashem made a covenant with Bnei Yisrael, he gave us the Torah, only because of Torah Shebal Peh, Shenemar, Ki Al Pi Advorim Eile Karati Yitcha Bris Ves Yisrael, Bi Al Pi Advorim Eile, Torah Shebal Peh. So one Medrash discusses that because of Basar B'cholav, Hashem gave us the Torah, and that's why there is a connection between Basar B'cholav and Al Pi Advorim Eile Karati Yitcha Bris. And the other Chazal is saying that it's because of Torah Shebal Peh. And the Chassam Sofer unites these two Chazal together. And he says that in reality, Avram Avinu did not cook Basar B'cholav together. And he didn't even give them first meat and then milk. He rather gave them first milk and then meat. So really, they didn't eat Basar B'cholav. But as we learned in our Gemara, Midrabbanan, there's a halacha, which Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, everybody agrees that you need kinuach. How do you do kinuach? Through bread. But we know that Sarah was pirsanida. The bread became tameh, and therefore the malachim didn't have bread. And yet they ate milk, and after the dairy products, they ate meat without wiping out their mouth with bread, so that is what caused the Torah to be given to Klal Yisrael. Al pi advar me'ela, on the Torah Shebal Peh of the sugya that we just learned in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that you need kinuach of the mouth, which they didn't do, so then Hashem was able to say, you were over, you went against the prohibition of Basar B'cholav, not Midaraisa, but Midarabbanan. So it was because of Basar B'cholav, and it was at the Rabbanan of Basar B'cholav, Al pi advar me'ela. I believe that according to this Chassam Sefer, he could possibly be miyashev to medrashim that the Das Kenyu Balatois is there in Parshat Vayera, says that they are mechulik one with the other. One medrash we heard already that the Avram Avinu gave them Basar B'cholav, and because of that, the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael and not to the Malachim. But the Das Kenim says that there's a different medrash that says that Avram Avinu kiyem Avram Avinu afilu eruvei tevshilin. He kept Aruva Tafshila, not allowing you to cook from Yontif for Shabbos. When you have, let's say, a 3-day, 2 days Yontif, and then Shabbos following, as we have this year in Tafshin Ayin Beis. But rather, the Das Kanim learns Aruva Tafshilin means Tafshilin Mu'uravin, mixed up. Tafshilin means cooked together, Basar B'cholav. That's what it means, tafshilin muravin. You have a mixture of basar b'cholav in cooked items. Shaloi Hayayichel baser b'chalav. Avram was careful not to be over. He kept even a ruva tafshilim not to eat baser b'chalav. Shaloi hayayichel baser b'chalav. And gam loy baser v'achken chalav. He didn't even eat meat and then milk, which you have to wait for. Ella chalav achakach baser. Dichsiv ayika chema v'chalav. First the chema and then the chalav, and then v'hadr ben abakar asher asa, and then the cow that he shechted. And so says the Das Kanim from the Medrash. That who says like the Medrash Rashi, that Rashi over there says kamo kamo de token amti vaisel kamayo, whatever he prepared first he gave to the malachim. So according to the Das Kanim, the Medrash Shemar Mechulakim, the first Medrash says that Avram gave them basar b'cholov. The second Medrash says that Avram kept basar b'cholov and he didn't even give them meat and then milk. He gave them milk and then meat. But according to the Chassam Sofer L'chayr, we could say that these Medrashim are not Mechulakim because Ein Echanami Avram kept a Ruvi Tavshilin, meaning he never cooked basar b'cholov together. He didn't even give them basar and then cholov. But yet they were over on a prat of basar v'cholov, which was a derabbanan al pi advar meila, of eating gvina and then basar, but not wiping their mouth in the middle. So Hashem was able to say, "I'm not giving you the Torah because you were over on a din derabbanan Torah shebal peh of kinuach between gvina and basar." But on the other hand, the other medrash is saying that Avram was nizer in eruv tavshilin not to cook meat and milk together, not even to eat meat and then milk. He only ate milk first and then meat. And he, by Avram, he thought they're Arabs. There was no Indian that he's being machshel them. If they didn't wipe their mouth with bread in between, Avram wasn't doing anything wrong. But Hashem was able to say to Malachim, you were over on Issa de Rabbanan al Piyad Varmela of Basar B'chov, and that's why I'm not giving you the Torah. Just one small horror on the Chassam Sofer, the L'chayra, we just learned the sugya, that it's not bread alone that can be used. You can use other things as long as you're not using flour or dates or soft vegetables. You can use other things. Even if they didn't have bread, they could have used fruit. They could have used something else. That L'chayra is a Tzarchian. Continues the Gemara. Boy minei Rav Asi mirav Yochanan. Rav Asi had a question from Rav Yochanan. Kama yishev ein basar l'gvina? How much do you have to wait between basar and gvina? And Rashi says that we think that, what does this mean? That he's eating first meat, and then he's going to ahead, and he is eating milk. Rashi says, mashma she'ochel basar v'roitz alechol gvina, because he puts first the word basar and then gvina. Amalei v'lei klum. He gave a startling answer, and he said, you don't have to wait anything. He said, "Aini, is that so?" V'amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, "Ochel baser, also lechel gvina. If you ate meat, you're not allowed to eat cheese." And Rashi gives us the reason, which is one of the two reasons for waiting between meat and milk. The baser moitzi shuman. When someone eats meat and he digests it, it gives off fat. V'hu nidbak bepeh, and that film, get that layer of shuman gets stuck in the mouth. Umarach betami, and it stays for 6 hours. We'll get into all the shitas of waiting between meat and milk, but let's say it's, as the Shulchan Aruch says, 6 hours. So that shuman is for 6 hours in the mouth, and then it becomes considered not a real shuman of meat after the 6 hours, after the acids in the mouth. It gets dissipated and dissolved, and there is no longer shuman there. So we learned that achol basar asur lachol gvina. You're not allowed to eat gvina unless you wait. Gvina mutar lachol basar. After gvina, you're allowed to, as the Rambam passes, the Shulchan Aruch passes, miyad, you can eat right away basar as long as you do everything else, washing your hands and your mouth, kinuach nadocha. And by the way, there is no seder in kinuach and adocha. You could do kinuach first and then adocha, or adocha first and then kinuach, but you're allowed to eat right after gvina. You can eat basar. But how could you say after eating meat that you're allowed to eat right away gvina? Ella, the question, although it was phrased, kama yishev ein basar l'gvina, he doesn't mean basar first and then gvina. Ella, kama yishev ein gvina l'basar. He meant, how much of a space does there have to be between basar l'gvina in a case where you ate gvina first and then basar? On that, the answer was, omer leva leiklum. He gave a response that you don't have to wait anything as long as you have the washing your hands and washing out your mouth and wiping it out. Gufa Amar Rav Chisda, Ochel Basar Asur Lechol Gvina, Gvina Mutter Lechol Basar. We should point out that not only is there a taste, a film of shuman in someone's mouth when he eats basar, and therefore he has to wait till he eats Gvina, But the Ramah tells us in Simon Peites Sif Beis, V'chein noyegin shekol shagvina kosher. If you have hard cheese, ain oichlen achareh afila basra, if you can't even eat chicken afterwards, k'moy begvina achar basar, just like you cannot eat cheese after meat, so too you cannot eat any kind of meat after hard cheese. Then he brings down v'yesh makilin. There are those who are mekel, but miyu toiv l'hachmer, the maskana is that one should be machmer. And certainly one should be machmer according to the Zohar, because the Zohar says, Shaloi lachl basar v'chol besude echot oisho echot. The Bir HaGur Nir Adeh Simen Peites Sif Katan Vav brings the Zohar, and the Lashon of the Zohar is that you shouldn't eat meat and milk, oi b'shata chada, at one time, oi b'sudata chada, or in one meal. And this is the halacha concerning hard cheese and then meat, and we have recently published in the Daf HaKashrus a list of all the different types of hard cheeses which the OU Poskim consider that one must wait 6 hours after eating those cheeses. If anyone would like a list, please send me an email at grossman@ou.org. Amar le Rav Acha bar Yosef Rav Chisda. So Rav Acha bar Yosef said Rav Chisda, he had the following question. We're learning according to Rashi. The Rambam will learn a different pshat in a moment. Boster shebein ashenayim mahu, as Rashi explains, mi chashiv boster shaloi lechol gvina imoy achi etlenu. Is this considered meat if you have meat stuck between your teeth until you remove it? In other words, Rashi is learning that there is an isser that of eating milk after meat. You have to wait 6 hours because of the shumen that's in the mouth. And even if you knew that there was nothing in the mouth, no pieces of meat, you would still have to wait 6 hours because of that film of fat that comes from digesting the meat. The question of Rav Acha bar Yosef to Rav Chisda is, what happens if the 6 hours are over and you still found in your mouth a piece between your teeth, a piece of meat? Is that considered meat that you would have to remove it? And after you removed it, you'd have to rinse out and wipe out your mouth. Kari olei habasar adenaben shineyem. He brought a pasuk which states the basar was still between their teeth. So Rashi says, alma mikri basar. We see that meat that is stuck between the teeth is considered meat. So it comes out according to the sheet of Rashi that on the one hand, you have to wait 6 hours even if there would not be any meat within your teeth, if you could guarantee 100%. And on the other hand, even if you've waited the 6 hours and you still have meat between the teeth, you have to remove that meat. However, the Rambam Shita is that he does not consider this shumen that Rashi speaks about as a factor. According to the Rambam, the entire prohibition, the entire reason that the Chachamim made, that you have to wait between meat and milk, is because of the meat that is stuck between the teeth. That normal rinsing will not get out those particles of meat, and they're usher. They're usher for 6 hours. After the 6 hours, because of the acidity that's in the mouth, they will disintegrate. They will not be considered meat, even if you still have them in your mouth. If so, we have to understand what was Rav Acha bar Yosef's question to Rav Chisda. Boser shebein ashenayim mahu, according to the Rambam, that's the whole reason for the prohibition of eating milk after meat and the reason why you have to wait. The Maram explains that according to the Rambam, it's not a question, as the Rashi learns, but rather it's a challenge. How could we say that you have to wait between meat and milk because of the basar shebein ashenayim? My question to you is, what is that worth? It's not, that's not meat. Basar shebein ashenayim mahu, what is that? I wouldn't consider that meat. Kari olei, he responded, yes, it is meat. Habasar adena ben shenayim, the basar was still between their teeth. It is considered meat, and that's the very rationale why you have to wait between meat and milk. Einachanami, it's only considered basar according to the Rambam for 6 hours and not after 6 hours. Now, the tour brings down, and so paskins the Mechaber, that there will be a chumrah according to Rashi and according to the Rambam. And we have to be machmer like both. According to Rashi, the chumrah will be after 6 hours if one still found a piece of meat between his teeth. According to Rashi, it must be removed. And according to the Rambam, it does not have to be removed. It's not considered meat. We're machmer like Rashi. Another chumrah will be, according to the Rambam, will be a chumrah if someone is loyis latinic, a mother, let's say, chews up the meat so it's soft so that the baby could eat the meat, and the mother does not swallow the meat. According to the Rambam, the mother could still have meat between her teeth, and therefore she'll have to wait for 6 hours. Whereas according to Rashi, the whole reason is because of shumen, and not because of the meat between the teeth. And if someone uses, if someone has, is lois latinuk and then gives it out to the child and swallow, does not swallow it, there is no shuman, and therefore one would not have to wait, according to Rashi, the required time of 6 hours. If there would be some meat, they would remove it, but they don't have to wait 6 hours because of that. They only have to wait 6 hours because of the shuman. But there is no shuman if it was not digested by the mother in the case of lois latinuk. However, according to the Rambam, the meat that is between the teeth when the mother chews is a reason for waiting 6 hours. And there, again, we go l'chumra, in this case, like the Rambam, that you would have to wait 6 hours. Omer Mar Ukva. Said Mar Ukva, Ano l'ha milsa I, concerning the following matter, Chalo bar chamro l'gabi abba. I am like vinegar to wine compared to my father. My father was like wine. I, compared to him, am like vinegar. The ilu abba, because by my father, ki ave ochel bisra'edin, if he would eat meat today at this time, let's say at 3 in the afternoon, loy have ochel gvina ad l'machri, would not have eaten cheese until tomorrow. The Bach says that the word here is ki, instead of ad, ki hashta. 3 o'clock, 24 hours later, he would then eat cheese. The ilu anna, but I, baha suda sahuda l'echelna, I won't eat milk in the same suda as I eat meat. And this reminds us of what the Zohar says, that one should not eat meat and milk together in the same hour. And even if it's after an hour, one should not eat it in the same suda. That's what Mar Ukva is saying here also. L'suda sa'achrin achilna, but I will eat it at another suda. Now, Mar Ukva, we should point out, does not discuss time at all. He just discusses suda. I don't wait 24 hours. I wait between one suda and another. The Maril Diskin asks, if he thought what his father was doing was so great, why didn't he emulate his father? Why didn't he copy what his father did? And the Maril Diskin answers that Mar Ukva felt that he's not on the Madrega. There is no Indian to make a Chumra when a person has not reached the Madrega of that Chumra. Mar Ukva said, I'll work on myself and try to raise myself up to the Madrega of my father, then I'll be able to accept the Chumra. Now that I'm not on that level, I am not accepting that Chumra. Now, how does Taisus learn l'sudas achrin achilna? Says Taisus, lav b'sudas asheragin l'lasis achas shachas v'achas arvis. In those days, they would only eat 2 meals, not like us, we eat 3 meals. They had one in the morning and one at night. So Taisus says that when Mar Ukva said between one suda and another, he did not mean a suda shachas and a suda arvis. Ella, afilu la'alter, im silek hashulchan ubirech mutter deloy plug rabbanon. If he removes the table and he benches, he makes a separation between one suda and another. He changes the dishes, the tablecloth, and he benches, and he makes it into another suda. He's mutter to eat milchig immediately. The loy plug rabbanon. The rabbanon didn't make any difference. You don't have to wait from the morning till night like you regularly would eat 2 sudais, but rather you can immediately shift from a fleishig suda until and then eat a milchig suda. This is the sheet of Taisus. Since this is perhaps the only place in all of Shas where the source of the various minhagim of waiting between meat and milk are found, I'd like to spend a few moments explaining the various minhagim. I have written about it in my Sefer Or HaOris, Or Halacha, Simen Gimel, and Simen Dalet, and it's based on the OU's Mesorah publication, Gilyan Ches and Gilyan Yud Dalet. Basically, we have the minhagim of waiting 6 hours. We have into the sixth hour, which is 5 hours and a minute. We have Rov of the sixth hour, 5 hours and 31 minutes. And we have a minig of 3 hours, which German Jews wait, and the minig in Holland of 1 hour. And this is a large sugya, but I'll try to succinctly put the shitas into perspective. The Mechaber in Simen Pei Tesef Aleph says, Ochel boser afilu shelchayav oif, lo yoichel gvina akrav ad sheyisha sheishois. So the Mechaber says clearly that after meat, and even bird meat, one waits 6 full hours. The Ramah there says, v'chein nochen lasis, this is proper to do. The Taz brings the Marshal, v'im yefshar limchois b'yad b'nei adam she'enam b'nei Torah, if we can't protest about people who are not b'nei Torah, if they don't wait 6 hours, avol b'nei Torah, roi limchois v'ligur b'hem, shelo yakilu pachas mivov shois. By b'nei Torah, we should very strongly come out and tell them that the proper thing is to wait 6 hours. We have already seen the sheet of Tosfos here, that one can eat immediately milchix as long after fleishix as long as he benched, and it is a different suda. The Ramah brings down this shita, and the Ramah adds and understands that one requires not only benching and another suda, but one would require kinuach and hadocha. The Taz there in Siman Pei Tes Sif Aleph says that the Shita, the Minig, which the Rama brings down, that they were Noeg. The Lashon of the Rama is Va'aminig Hapashit B'mdinas Elu Lahamten Achar Achilas Habasar Shah Achas Va'oichan Achach Vina, that they would wait 1 hour as they do today in Holland. The Taz understands that that is a compromise between 6 hours, which we'll soon see the Rambam speaks about, 6 hours, and the Shita of Tosfos that you're allowed to eat immediately. The Shita of Tosfos is not kept lahalacha, but it has a place in halacha because it is the cause of the compromise. One would think that 3 hours is the compromise between six and zero, but in fact, it is the 1 hour that is the compromise. As Rav Moshe Heinemann Shlita explained to me, that you wait because the Rambam says to wait 6 hours, but you don't wait a long time. You only wait an hour, so it's as if you're not waiting, like the Shita of Tosfos that says you don't wait at all. And we can also understand the minig of the Rama of 1 hour based on the Gra in Sifkat and Vav, which we mentioned before, based on the Zohar, that you're not supposed to eat cheese and meat in 1 hour and one Suda. It would come out according to the Zohar, a Chumra, that if one ate cheese first, one would wait an hour before one would eat meat. In the case of meat and milk, it comes out to be a Chumra. So therefore, we have a source already for the hour, which is a compromise between six and zero. How do we get to six? We're going to see right now. The Rambam in Hilchos Machlokes Asuros, Perek Tes Halacha Chav Ches, says, Mi she'ochel basar lo yochel achrav cholov ad she'yiyeh beinein kidei shir suda acheres. It has to be enough time that you would start normally another suda. V'hu kemo she'shos. It is like 6 hours. The Rambam doesn't require, as other Rishonim, a full 6 hours, but kemo she'shos. Mibnei habasar shel bein ha'shinayim. Here's the Rambam Shita, not like Rashi because of the shumen in the palate, but rather the pieces of meat that are in between the teeth. She'ein oisor b'kinuach, they are not removed by wiping out. Meat gets embedded, and therefore up to 6 hours it's considered meat, and that's why you wait for meat to milk. But how long, says the Rambam? Kemo she'shos. Now, to explain the sheet of those Rishonim as the Mechaber Paskins, the Mechaber doesn't say Kemo Sheishois, he says Sheishois. That we can understand as follows. The Lechem Mishnah explains that Mar Okva was a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Aleph tells us that the Suda of a Talmud Chacham is in the sixth hour. The Gemara there describes when various people would eat, the Ganovim, the workers, and the Talmid Chacham. The Talmid Chacham ate in the sixth hour. Bepashtus, what does it mean in the sixth hour? Let's take an average day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So from 11 till noon is the end of the fifth hour is 11, and till 12 is the end of the sixth hour. So Talmud Chacham would eat in that hour. He would finish his Suda by 12 o'clock. And the reason he would finish by 12 o'clock is because the Gemara in Shabbos says that if you eat after the sixth hour, it's like throwing an Evan L'chames, which the Shalom explains, like throwing a brick into a pitcher of wine, an empty pitcher, and you want to fill it, you want to fill the wine up to the top, it's only being filled because of the stone that's thrown in there. Take away the stone, you've not accomplished anything. You should have poured wine in, not a stone. So in other words, Rashi there says that it's difficult when you eat after the sixth hour. Kosher l'guf. Then Rashi says, loy kosher v'loy yof. And that seems to be what the Shalom is saying. You're not accomplishing anything by putting in food after the sixth hour. So therefore, people, the Talmid Chacham like Mar Okva, would eat between 11 and 12. They would finish by 12. When did they start normally this on an average day of 12 hours? When did they start their second Suda? They would start their second Suda at 6 p.m. Why? Because the Gemara in Yumayin Hamid Base tells us, Limda tar der basr ela, a person should only eat meat at night. And the Gemara learns it there from a pasuk. And then the Gemara asks, but didn't Abaya tell us that a person who has a suda should eat his suda only in the daytime? And the Gemara answers, Ke'en yamama, night, which is like day, as Rashi explains, you're eating by the light of a torch or a candle. So, in other words, we're assuming that since people would eat meat at night, and they made it like daytime because they were eating with a torch or a candle, so they would begin at the earliest possible time, which would be 6 p.m. So according to this, we have exactly 6 hours between when they ended their first meal, their fleishik meal, and when they began their evening meal they always used to eat at 6 p.m. when it got dark to the light of the candle. Now, so we've explained 6 hours. How do we explain Kemo Sheishos? So I believe the pshat is like this. In Chosh and Mishpat Simon Hay, the Mechaber says that Dayanim should paskin adin the whole day up till the end of the fifth hour. Because the Beis Yosef says that in the from the end of the fifth hour till the end of the sixth hour, that's the zman of eating of Talmidei Chacham. They don't have to paskin adin when it's their time to eat. However, the Sma tells us that the Rambam doesn't say like the Beis Yosef. The Rambam says they eat, they paskin until the end of the sixth hour. Explains the Sma, because they will paskin ad v'loy ad b'chlal, until the end of the sixth hour, but not right at the end of the sixth hour. They'll leave a few minutes at the end of the sixth hour, 5 minutes to 12, they'll start their first suda of the day, and the Sma says that the ikr hasuda yoichlu b'shoa shviyas. The main suda will not be between the end of the fifth and the end of the sixth. In other words, on an average day from 11 to 12, but rather 5 to 12, they'll eat something. The problem with eating after the sixth hour is only if you don't eat anything before the end of the sixth hour. But if you tasted something, the Gemara there in Shabbos says, then you can eat it after the sixth hour. So the Talmidei Chacham says the Sma, according to the Rambam, they will give their Din Torah until, let's say, 5 to 12. They'll start eating at 5 to 12, right at the end of the sixth hour. Most of their Suda will be in the seventh hour. So therefore, we already have that hour from 12 till 6. We said there's 6 hours. But we're already taking up part of an hour because we're eating after 12 o'clock. We're going into the seventh hour, the way the Sma understands the Rambam. And Huadin, when we look at the end, in other words, we look at the end of the 6 hours, we look at when they ate their second Suda. We learned before that they ate at night with a candle, and it was like daytime. But in fact, the Rabbeinu Chananel there, in Yuma Daf Ayin Hayamid Beis, has a girsa that they ate at in the daytime like night. And the Haggadah there says he made a mistake. But if you look into the Duke Seifrim, he says that's the correct girsa. Not like Rashi had the girsa. He ate at night with a candle and made it like day. But rather, he ate in the daytime like night. It was close to night. But he had to end by 6 p.m. He didn't begin at 6 p.m. the second Suda. He ended. Why did he end? Rav Heinemann explained, based on the Gemara in Yuma Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara says that the mon, there was a certain inui in the mon. I pained you when I gave you the mon. Why? Because ain't a doima, misha roy of oichel, misha ain't a roy of oichel. You're not seeing what you're eating. You could think that you're eating eggplant parmesan or steak, but you don't see it. You see mon, and therefore that's an inui. And that's why Rabbi Yosef says, a suma is oichel v'ain a saveya. He eats, but he doesn't get nutrition from his food. He's not satisfied because he doesn't see what he's eating. And on that is what Abaya said, hilkach man de islay suda soloi lichla ela biyamama. He should only eat it in the daytime because he has to see what he's eating. He doesn't always have a candle or an avuk. He should see it. He should eat in the daytime. And the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Dikduke Seifrim are goyris, that even if sometimes, let's say, he'll eat meat at night, and you're supposed to eat at night, you don't really eat it in the dark, but rather you eat it in the end of the daytime towards night. Be your mama ke'en laila. Not be laila ke'en your mama with an avuka, but be your mama ke'en laila. So it comes out that we before said that all the Talmidei Chacham and like Mar Ukva ended their meal at 12, and the first meal, and the second meal began at 6 p.m., and we had it exactly 6 hours between. The Rambam Lishitasai says no, the way the Sma explained, that they only began eating at 5 minutes to 12, and most of their Suda was in the seventh hour. And they also, so they ended after 12 o'clock, the first Suda, and they had to finish their second Suda before 6, while it's still light outside. They did it close to dark, but not in the dark, because they have to see what they're eating. So it comes out that you don't have 6 full hours. You have 5 hours and into the 6 hours. So some say it's a minute into 6. Some say it's most of the 6. It's 5:31. But it's only kemoshe shos, because one of those 6 hours is being taken up by ending off the first Suda and starting the second Suda to make sure you finish it before it becomes dark. Now, how do we get to the shita of 3 hours? So the reason is, the Mizmor LeDavid, written by Rav David Pardo, who wrote the Maskil LeDavid on Chumash, explains that in the winter, the time is less. And Mar Ukva lived in Kafri, and that the Gemara says in Kedushin of Mem Dalet Amid Beis. And I checked with Rav Herschel Edelstein and Munsey, who knows about times, and he told me Kafri is near Baghdad. And Baghdad, the shortest day of the year, is 9 hours and 57 minutes in the winter. So it comes out that, let's say, a day of approximately 10 hours. The morning starts at 7, and it ends at 5 in the afternoon, or 4:57 to be exact. It's 9:57. So he ate his first meal. Took him 6 hours. The sixth hour was 1 o'clock. The way we learned from the Sma, he started like 5 minutes to one and went past 1 o'clock. And he had to eat his second suda before it became dark at 4:57. So it comes out that from 1 to 4:57 is 3 hours and 57 minutes. But you took up the 57 minutes part of it because of the eating, and therefore they only wait 3 hours. They say the 50, getting into that 57 minutes, you're eating only between one suda and another, you're only eating 3 hours from the time you finished the first suda till the time that you began the second suda. You have only a space in between of 3 hours. That's the sheet of 3 hours. Rav Naftali Lehman told me that he showed Rav Shimon Schwab Zitzel the sheet of Rabbeinu Yerucham, who brings down Rashi. To Rashi says 3 hours, although Rav Shimon Schwab instructed his musmachim that they should wait 6 hours, but he was very happy that there were Rishonim who held 3 hours, because many German Jews wait 3 hours, and it's based on the sheet of the Rishonim, and the reason it could be as we explained before. And so we have gone through the sheet of 1 hour, the sheet of 6 hours, of Kemoshe Shos, either 5 and a minute or 5:31, and also 3 hours, and the sheet of the Jews of Holland of 1 hour. Continues the Gemara. Amr Shmuel Ano Lohom Milsa Chala Bar Chamer Gabi Abba. I am like vinegar to wine compared to my father. The Ilu Abba, my father, Havasar, he used to inspect Nichse, his property, Trace Mani Biyayma, 2 times a day. Vano and I, Loisarina, I only inspected Alechot Azimda 1 time. Shmuel Utamei, Shmuel goes Lishitasi, Amr Shmuel, Mandesar Nichse, Kol Yayma, a person who inspects his property every day. Mashkech Estiria, he finds an Estira. And an Estira, Rashi says, is equal to a sella. And the reason is because he protects his property from big problems. If he makes small repairs, he saves himself large losses, and therefore he, by preventing losses, he is as if he was earning an istara, a sella, every day in profit. Abai have a sign that they call Yom Yom. He used to inspect his property every day. Yom Echad, one day, Pogabar Risa, he met his sharecropper, the Dori, that he was carrying Piskadoife, a bundle of wood. He was trying to steal it. Omerle, he said to him, Hani Lehecha, where are you taking these to? Omerle, Lebeimar, I'm taking it to the master's house. He lied. Omerle, so Abai said to him, Kvar Kadmucha Rabbanim, the Rabbanim already preempted you. They told me that I have to check my property every day, and therefore I know you're lying and you're trying to steal it. Rav Asi, Havisai Nechsekiyama, he also inspected his property every day. Omar, he said, after doing this several times, he didn't find anything to repair, and he thought he was wasting his time by checking his property every day. And he said, Heichaninu kol hanei astiri debar Shmuel, where are all the coins that I'm supposed to be earning that Shmuel said I would earn? Yom Echad, one day, Chazetz Inayra, he found a irrigation pipe, the Batka Ba'are, that it was cracked open and it was leaking out water, and the water could have drowned all his produce and ruined it. Shakli Liglima, he took off his shirt. Karche, he rolled it up. Oisve Begavo, he stuck it into that hole as a stopgap measure. Ramakala, he shouted, Us Inshi, people came, Sakhurud, they dammed it up and they prevented his field from losing all the produce. And the Bach puts in the word Omar Ashkechetinu Lekulis Dori Mar Shmuel. I finally found all the coins of Mar Shmuel, because Mar Shmuel didn't mean necessarily that every single day you would earn a coin, but if you would prevent one major loss and you'd average out all your inspections of all the days, it would come out that you would average 1 coin a day. And the Meforshim tell us that this is similar to the Gemara before, that it's not just telling you how to take care of your investments, but this is a halacha, that it would be better to do it twice a day. But at least once a day, when you're speaking about agriculture, a person should check his possessions, which Hashem gave into his keeping and guarding, just like we find Yaakov went to check the Pachim Tanim, Mikansha, Mamonim Shel Tzadikim Chavivim Alem, Yoysu Migufam, a tzaddik likes his money that Hashem entrusted him even more than his life. He's careful in what Hashem gave him. If Hashem gave him abundance, it's to help people, it's to lend money to people, to give tzedakah to people. He's the Ben Yoyada and the Iyun Yaakov and the Yamshir Shloim, and many Meforshim tell us that a person has a halachic responsibility to take care of his property. The Ben Yoyada says not only his physical property, but his spiritual property. A person, we have to check ourselves once a year, Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, but actually we should be doing this on a daily basis. And I was thinking that perhaps that this refers to chazora. A person should chazor, and he chazors, he thinks, what am I gaining by chazora? I know this already. My son-in-law told me that he knew someone who made a siyum on a mesechta 101 times, and he didn't chazor then for 15 years. And then my son-in-law wanted to be his chavrusa on that mesechta because he had learned it 101 times, and you shouldn't forget after 101 times. And yet there were certain dafim of that mesechta that he totally didn't remember. He had to make a lanus on it. There were some dafim he remembered, but there were others where there was a flood, where he was losing it because he didn't chazer. So this Gemara is telling us that we have to inspect our spiritual things. We have to chazer. This is especially for those who learn daf yomi, not only to learn it, but we have to try to make time to chazer and retain it as well, or else chas v'sholom, it'll all get flooded out. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Avin, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashid. My Mishrayim mitzvah to wash before eating bread is a mitzvah. Va'achronim, my machronim, after one eats is a chova. And chova, Rashi says, on a higher level than a mitzvah. The Rabbeinu Tam asks a question over here, Tosfos, L'mayin nafkamina. What's the difference if it's a mitzvah or it's a chova? They're both obligated to do. As we're going to see now from the next Gemara, let's see the Gemara for a second. Meisri, I'll ask you a question. Mayim Rishonim v'achronim chayva emtsayim rishus. You told me that the Rishonim is a mitzvah, and only the achronim is a chayva. Here we see both are a chayva, and only the washing between one item and the same item, let's say both are fleishig, both are milchik, as we'll see on Amid Beis, that's a rishus. You don't have to do that. So why do you call it a mitzvah? We see from this Gemara it's a chayva. The Gemara answers, mitzvah, l'gab rishus, chayva karla. When we compare a mitzvah to a rishus, as we are comparing it to mayim emtsayim, then even the mayim rishonim, which is a mitzvah, is also considered a chayva. But in actuality, the mayim achronim is a bigger chayv than mayim rishonim. So Tosfos asks, if the bottom line is they're not a rishus, we could have said mitzvah means rishus. But you're saying that mitzvah is not a rishus, so it is an obligation. If it's an obligation, what's the difference between a mitzvah and a chayva? And Tosfos makes several chalukim. One chiluk from the Hilchos Gedolos, he says, is that a rishonim, which is a mitzvah because a kohen can't eat trumo with hands that become tamei, and therefore we said that the Yisraelim should also wash their hands before eating, so that everyone should know that you have to wash your hands before you eat anything because of a kohen, because of his srach truma. So since this was a takana of the chachamim, it would require a bracha before it. However, my machorim we're going to see is because there was salt from stone, and that salt was dangerous. So that this is something that a person has to do to protect himself. On that, it's not a takanas chachamim. There would not have been any bracha, Tosfos says. Tosfos gives other chalukim, and Tosfos at the beginning, Tosfos in Erev, and likewise says that bizman is that we don't have melech sodomis, and therefore, even though the Gemara in brachas learns out that viskadishtem is Elu Mayim Rishonim, V'yisim Kedoshim, these are Mayim Achronim, it's an Asmachta B'Yalma. If it would be a Chiv, we'd have to do it even B'Zman HaZeh. But Tosfos says it's not a Chiv, it's only an Asmachta, and therefore today, when we don't have Melech Stoimus, we're not Noyig, Loinogu Mayim Achronim. And so, in the Shulchan Aruch. However, we find in Siman Kuf Pe'alf Sif Aleph, Mayim Achronim is Chayva, and the Mishnah Berurah does say in Sif Katan Beis that Bizman is there, where there is no Melch Stoimis, that if you only had enough water for either Rishonim or Achronim, Rishonim today is more important than Achronim. Even though when they had Melch Stoimis prevalent, where somebody could get blinded from the Melch Stoimis, as we'll see on Amud Beis, then the Mayim Achronim is more important than the Mayim Rishonim. In that Siman Kuf Pei Aleph, in Sif Yud, it says, Yei She'ein Noyagin Lito Mayim Achronim. This was the sheet of Tosis. However, the Mishnah Berurah there in Sif Katan Chav Beis brings down that Ein Echanami, the sheet of Tosis, that Melch Stoimis is not prevalent, and even the reason of Zuama, we're going to see there's grease on your hands, and if there's grease on your hands, you're not allowed to make a bracha. But we don't, we're not makbid on that grease, so therefore to us it's not considered Zuhama. But Afal Pikein, the Magen Avram, Api Kabbalah, and the Gra, and the Sefer Bircha Yosef, they're all very machmir that someone should do Mayim Achronim, and most of Klal Yisrael, except German Jews, are nayeg to wash Mayim Achronim. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, Mayim Rishonim Achronim Chayvim Sarim Rishus, Rishonim, Naitlim Bein Bekli, Rashi explains, you put it into a Kli, Bein Al Gabi Karka, you could put the Rishonim on Karka, Achronim, Ein Naitlim El Bekli, you have to put it into a Kli, V'amri Lo, and some say, Ein Naitlim Al Gabi Karka, you don't do it on the Karka. So it seems to be the same thing. My Benayu, what's the difference? Ikki Benayu, Kinsif, if you do it on wood chips, Rashi explains, if it's required to do it in a Kli, then wood chips won't work. However, if you're just not supposed to do it on the karka, if you do it in wood chips, it's good enough. And Rashi explains that the reason why you shouldn't do it on the karka, we're going to see in Amud Beis, is because ruach ra'a is shora when they're put on the karka. Mayim rishonim naitel be'mecham v'mitzrayim, you can use hot or cold water. Achronim ein naitel be'mitzrayim, only cold. Why? Neshechan mifapapin, the hot water softens the hands, esayadayim, ve'ein mavir nesezuma, the zuma, the grease gets into the hands instead of getting wiped off the hands. So here we see in the Gemara, besides the melch stomus, there's an aspect of mayim achronim to wipe off the Zuama, and if you're going to use hot water, you won't be able to wipe off the grease. Continues the Gemara. Mayim Rishonim Naitlim Bein Becham and Bein Mitzayin. In Amar of Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar of Yani, Lo Yishanu El She'ein Ayad. As we turn to Daf Kuf Hamid Beis, Ein Ayad Soledes. And when Rashi says Nichvas, the hand doesn't get scalded. Avol Ayad Soledes. But if it gets scalded, Ein Naitlim Behen, then you cannot use Mayim Rishonim. The Ikedem Asal HaSeifa. Some put it on the Seifa. Achroinim ain't light on el betzayna. You can only use cold for achroinim. Aval becham and loy, but not hot. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yani. Loy shen el sheyatzel lettuce ben. When can't you use hot? That's only if it is scalding. Aval ain't a yatzel lettuce ben nightlam. But for my achroinim, you could use water that does not scald, even though it is warm. Michlal, since my achroinim is easier than my machroinim, the rishonim afal pisha yatzalas ben mutter. Rishonim, even if it is yatzalas ben, is mutter, and that is the halacha that for my rishonim you could use even yatzalas ben. My machroinim, it has to be lower temperature. It doesn't have to be freezing cold. It could be warm, but it cannot be yatzalas ben. Emtsoim rishus, we learned before. Amr of Nachman loishan el ben tavshul letavshul. That's only between one item and another item, which we're going to learn the pshat of Rabbeinu Shmuel in the top Tosfos here, that between fleishig and fleishig, or milchig and milchig, let's see the Rabbeinu Shmuel inside. Amar Rabbeinu Shmuel, the mairi b'shneim shel baser, shneim shel gvina. Aval bein tafshul shel baser, legvina shel lefon of chayva. But from tafshul to gvina, when the gvina is first, that is a chayva. Aval legvina shel achrav. But when you have Gvina after the Basar, like Amar, he's not speaking about that. That filibil tilis yadayim asher lechel at sudacheres, kid Amar le'il, achel Basar, asher lechel Gvina. So Taisa says, our whole Gemara here is not speaking about from meat to milk, because there, washing, rinsing doesn't help. You need to wait. Our Gemara is speaking about Basar to Basar, Gvina to Gvina, or that's a Rishus, and from Gvina and then Basar, that's the last din, aval bein tafshul l'gvina, meaning between the tafshul of basr to the gvina that precedes that tafshul. Rabbeinu Tam has a problem with this because pashtus tafshul means the tafshul was first of basr and then gvina. And that's why Rabbeinu Tam learns a different pshat, ayin sham. But the Rabbeinu Shmuel is learning aval bein tafshul gvina, which preceded it, so it's gvina first and then tafshul. That's a chayva, and it works. But between basr and gvina afterwards, you have to wait, and there, washing doesn't accomplish anything. Why did they say it's a chayva? As Rashi brings down the Gemara and Brach stuff mem, that you have to eat salt with everything that you eat, and since there's salt from stone, which is very dangerous salt, it could be mixed in. So melech stomis yesh shemesames anayim, it could blind the person, and therefore it's an obligation to wash your hands after the meal. So there's a zuama reason, and there is a melech stomis reason. Again, Tosfos says that it's not relevant b'zman hazeh, but we paskin melech ma'am achronim is a chayve even b'zman hazeh. Amar Abaya, umishtakach, how much melech stomis is there amongst regular salt? Ki kurta a grain bekura in a kur of salt, so there's a very little amount of salt from stone, but yet it could be dangerous. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei du Rav le Rav Ashi. Kol milcha, here the word kol does not mean all, it means measuring. What happens if a person is not eating salt, he's measuring salt? My, what's it in? Is it only by eating that you have to wash ma'amachorinu, or also by measuring? Or malay, loyme boy, that's not a question, which means avada, if you're measuring it, you still have that salt of stone, and you might put it in your eyes, and therefore it could blind you, and you have to wash after measuring, you must use water to remove the melstomas. Omer Abaya, said Abaya, Mareish, in the beginning, Hava Min, I used to think, Haidalei Mashem Maya Basroi, Alar, the reason why they don't pour Maya Machorim underground, Mishum Zuama, it's because of Zuama. As Rashi says, it has a bad odor and it looks disgusting. Because in this water is the grease that came out from the hands, and that's why you shouldn't put it on the ground. Amali Mar, as the Masar Shashah says, this is Rabbi Bar Nachmani, but Rabbi Bar Nachmani told me Mishum a different reason. The Shaya Ruach Ra Alaya. There's actually a Ruach Ra when it hits the ground, and that's why we learned before you have to put it into a keli and not on the ground. V'yom Rabbi, I'm a Reish of a minute. In the beginning, I used to think, the reason why when someone is drinking, you should not take anything away from the table. When he's holding a cup to drink, I thought, maybe something would happen. He'll get angry. He wanted that thing that you were taking away. And in the middle of drinking, he will choke and some calamity will happen there at the Suda. Amali Mar, but Rabbi Nachmani told me Mishum Dekashil Ruach Tzarda, that because it can cause an illness. What is Ruach Tzarda? It means either a clouding of the mind or an ache of the head. V'loy Amor, and when is this said? El Deshakul V'loy Mahadur. It's only if he takes it away, it doesn't return it. But if he takes the Vahud Dura and he gives it back, less lam, but that's not a problem. V'loy Amor, El Chutzav Ramas, he takes it four away, more than four Amas. Al Vatoich Ramas, less above. It's less than four Amas, no problem. Veloy Amorin, El Amidid the Tzarch L'Suda, it's only something that's needed for the Suda. Al Amidid Loy Tzarch L'Suda, less above. If it's not necessary for the Suda, no problem if you take it away from the table. Mar Bar Rav Ashi, Kapit Afila Issa, he was marked even on a mortar, Ubuchna and a pestle, the Tavli of spices where you grind spices, that's also Midi the Tzarch L'Suda, so it's considered something that's needed for the Suda. The Amar Abaya, continuing in these things where he thought one way and Rabbi Nachmani taught him a deeper reason why these things should not be done. Mereisha v'mina, I used to think, Haida Kanshi Nishvar, the reason why we gather crumbs, Mishum Nikarusa, is because of cleanliness. Amali Mar, Mishum Nikashalan Yusuf. No, it has a reason because it can cause poorness. Because if you step on crumbs, the malach that's Mimuna on poorness brings you to poverty. The Gemara Pesachim of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis tells us that the name of the malach that takes care of sustenance is Nakid, which means cleanliness. And that's why he doesn't approve of crumbs being thrown in places where people will step on it. However, the name of the malach that's in charge of poverty is Novel, filth. He comes into houses where they don't handle bread properly. They let crumbs on the floor. And when he sees, the malach sees people stepping on crumbs, he says, after this person stuffed his stomach, then he steps on all the leftovers. If he owned everything in the world, he would ruin it all. And that's why he gives him poorness. And therefore, if a person does not want to be poor, they should make sure to clean up the crumbs. Now, who governed? Who is this man? Rashi says, this is the Sar HaMamun al Aniyus, the malach that's appointed over poorness. He was trying to get him to be poor. He wasn't able to. Why? Because Zara Nishavar Turah. He was very careful to always clean up all the crumbs. But Yoimachad, one day, Korach Rifta, the Masar Seshah says it should be, he ate bread, he broke bread, Ayivli on grass. And it's very hard to clean up crumbs from grass. Omar. So the Malach Mamuna on poverty said, Hashtavari Nafal Birei. Ah, I got him. Now he fell into my hands. He's not going to be able to clean up these crumbs. Buster the Ochel. After he ate, he outsmarted the Malach. Isimor. He brought a Shavla. Karinu Liyavli. He uprooted the grass. Shadino Lenari. He threw it into the river. Once it's thrown into the river, then already the Malach has no jurisdiction to make him poor. Shamye, the man who did this, he heard the Ka'amar that the Malach said, Vai, woe, the Afgeh who governed Beisei, that he, the one who threw the grass with the crumbs into the water, he kicked out Ahu Gavr, that man, meaning himself, the Malach, from his house. Rashi says, Mimokam Menuchasir, from my resting place. That I was supposed to go in there, make him poor, I cannot do it. V'yom Rabbi, Mereshav Men, I used to think, Haidu loy shasi ufya, you're not allowed to drink foam. Mishum Yisus, it's disgusting. Omer Limar, Rabbi Bar Nachmani told me, Mishum Dekashi lekar sum. It is very bad for karsum. Karsum is a large amount of mucus which comes through the nostrils, in other words, a running nose. Mishte, if you drink it, kasha lekarsum. Minfi, if you blow on it, bay, kasha lereshi, you get a headache. Matche, if you push it away, kasha lanayus, it brings to poorness. Maitakante, what should you do? Lishake, shikui, let it settle. What happens if you drank the foam and you got this illness of karsum? So lekarsum, the chamra, you should drink shichra. If you drank the foam of shichra, then you as an antidote, you should drink maya. If you drank the foam of maya, less leitakanta, then there's nothing, there's no antidote. That's what people say. Basar anya azlan yusa. After a poor man goes poorness, poverty. In other words, he was poor, he only could afford water and not beer or wine. And now that he drank the foam, he has no way out. V'omra baya. I used to think, I used to say, the reason why you're not supposed to pull out a, let's say, a garlic from a bundle, the oser ginah, which the gardener has tied up, he looks like he can't wait, he has to eat. Omar Limar, that's not the reason, but mishum dekashlik shafim, because it's bad for witchcraft. As Rashi explains, that someone who sees him doing that can do kshafim to him, and the opposite, a person who's careful not to pull out the garlic from the rest, from the bunch, it will not be easy to affect him with witchcraft. The Gemara relates a story. Rav Chisda v'Rabbi Rav Huna, Havika Azik Ba'arba, they were going in a boat. Amr Luhu Ahuma Tanusa, this noble woman who Rashi says was a goy, she said to them, Asun Badach, let me sit together with you. Lo Yasuve, they didn't let her sit down. Amra Milsa, she said a word of a kishav, of witchcraft, a lachash, she said. Asr Tal Arba, she was able to immobilize the boat. They couldn't move it. Amra Inamilsa, so they said something, apparently also a lachash. And Sharyu, they were able to release the boat. Rashi has the question, how could they use witchcraft? So Rashi says either to save themselves, or Rashi says it was the name of Hashem that they used, but Rashi says that loy mucha milsa, there's no proof that they actually used the name of Hashem. The Sefer Menachem Meshev Nefesh in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, where this sugya is brought, brings down a pshat from the Shari Chuvin, the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that really, and we find this in old Gemaras, but by her, it says she said milsa with an aleph. By them, it says milas, that they said mem lametof, and that stands without the aleph at the end. It stands for Mechashefa loisachaya. Once they said all that pasuk and had all the kavanis in mechashefa loisachaya, that was able to go against her lachash of witchcraft. Amra lehu, she said to them, my ivid lehu, what can I do to you? My witchcraft doesn't work because you don't do anything that can cause the witchcraft to work. Deloy mekaneich lehu b'chaspa, you don't wipe yourself with the basic kisei with a shard. V'loy kato lehu kina amenaicha, you don't kill a louse on your clothing. V'loy achal lehu yirka mikisha, you don't pull out a vegetable from the bundle, as we learned before. Da'asu gino, which a gardener has tied, and all of these things could bring witchcraft, and you don't do it, and that's why my witchcraft didn't work. V'yom Rabbi, and Abaye said, Mereish Avim, and I used to say, Hi, the Loyachli, Yerok, Naflataka, the reason you shouldn't eat a vegetable that fell from the table, Mishum Yisus, it's disgusting. Amrali Mar, Mishum Nekashle Rechapeh, it's not good for the odor of the mouth. V'yom Rabbi, Mereish Avim, and Ahai, the Loyachli, Tusei Meziv, the reason why you shouldn't sit under a drainpipe, Mishum Shaifim, because people used to live on the roof and they used to pour water down the drainpipe, all kinds of waste water. Amrali Mar, but Rabbi Bar Nachmani told me, Mishum Neshchich Mazikin, because that's where the Mazikin can congregate. Hanu Shekulai, the Gemara says a story relating to this. There were these porters. They have Doru, they were carrying Chavita the Chamra, a barrel of wine. Boli Spuche, they wanted to rest. So they rested under a drain pipe and there was a mazik there. And he, Paka, he burst the barrel. Also, Kameh to Marba Ravashi. So the porters came to Marba Ravashi for a din Torah to get paid back from the mazikin. Afik shipuri shamte, he took out shofros and he put a mecherim. So either he blew the shofros to summon him to din, or he was summoned, he didn't come, and the din is when you are summoned by Bezdin, you don't come. They used to blow shofros and excommunicate him. So when he blew the shofros, that made him come in front of Mar Bar Ravashi, and they had the din Torah. He owed some money because he broke the barrel. Omar Le, Amay Tavid Hachi, why did you do this? Omar Le, Hey Chavid, what should I do? Ki Usvi Bani, when he put down the barrel, it was right on my ear. I was sleeping over there. I had to burst it. Omar Le, no. At Beduchta the Shchich Rab, my boys, what are you doing in a place where people go back and forth? That's not your place. Atu the Shanis, you deviated from the correct order of what to do. You have to pay. Zil Shlim. Amar Lei, so the Mazik said to, this was like a shade, a demon, this Mazik. Amar Lei, Hashtanam Ilkvali Mar Zimnev Efra, give me a time period and I will pay up at that time. Kavale Zimna. So Mar Ravashi gave him a time when he has to appear with the money. Kimat Zimna Yaakov, when the time came, he was late. He also, when he finally came, Amar Lei, so Mar Ravashi said to the Mazik, Amar Lei, Sisim Zmanach, why didn't you come at the right time? Amar Lei, he said to him, call Mili everything that's sired, that's wrapped, the chasim and sealed, the chayil, and here's the word that we had before at the beginning of the Gemara, the two lines before it gets wide, kol milcha, and there we explain, kol doesn't mean all, it means measuring. Any, the chayil, anything that's measured, umani, and counted, less long reshushul mishkamineh, we have no permission to take that. Ad the meshkechina midi defker, we have to find something that's not wrapped, not sealed, that's hefker, and it took me a while till I found something hefker, I finally found it, here it is. V'yorm rabbi, mereisha v'minah. I used to say, hi, deshari ma'ami puma dechatzah. That's the reason why we spill out water that is at the mouth of a pitcher, mishum tzivsa. The reason is because there are wood splinters and straw at the mouth, and we get rid of them. Amrali mar, Robert Rechmane, he told me, mishum de'ika ma'im aroyim, because there is bad waters, which means that the shadim drank from those waters, and the takana is to spill some of it out. And the Gemara relates a story. Hahu bar sheda, there was the shade. The havibe rapapa, he used to be mishamish rapapa. Ozul lasuya maiminar, he was sent to bring water from the river. Yaakov, he came back late. He also amrulay amay Yaakov. When he came, they said, why were you late? Amar lehu, adechalfi maimarom, I had to wait till the bad waters which the shadim drank from went down the river, and then I took from the good water. Adahachi, after some time, as we turn to the Afkuf Vav Amar Alv, chazinu, he saw, dekashadi maim, mipum nechatzra, that they themselves in the house of Rav Papa, they were spilling out the water from the pitcher. Omar, he said, the shade said, Yav Yadan Regil to Lemevrach, if I would have known that you are used to doing this, Lo Yakvi, I wouldn't have waited. I would have brought the bad water because you're going to spill it out anyway. Toises asked the Kasha, so number one, why didn't he spill it out himself? And number two, why didn't he tell them that it's bad water? Why did he have to wait and be late and wait till the bad water went away? And Toises says, he didn't want to tell them because he was afraid maybe the other shading would be makbid if he would be moedia that there's bad water here. And also Taisa says that it only works to spill it out if you're the one who drinks it. And therefore, if the shade would have done it, it wouldn't have worked. It would still have been a sakana, and that's why he did not do it.